Welcome everyone to the second episode of the Sesimo podcast on the Trade and Technology Council. My name is Vincenzo Belletti and I'm Director of EU Public Affairs at Sesimo. Sesimo is an umbrella organization that serves the common interests and values of the machine tool industries and related manufacturing technologies at the EU at global level since 1950. In our last podcast, we discussed with the European Commission the role of the Trade and Technology Council and its importance in the development of a solid cooperation between the US and the EU when it comes to standards, emerging technologies, and supply chain security. It was particularly interesting to hear that the European Commission considers industry stakeholders should play a major role in supporting, and in some occasions steering, the activities of the Trade and Technology Council. For this reason, today we begin to highlight those issues that could be solved or improved with direct involvement of industry stakeholders. In particular, we will have a closer look at the most promising areas in the field of manufacturing in the US market and discuss what topics and projects could benefit from further cooperation between the EU and the US. Therefore, I'm very happy to introduce to you my guest for today, Mr. Tim Shimbara, who is the Chief Technology Officer at the Association for Manufacturing Technology in the US, also known as AMT. Tim is responsible for activities related to industrial research and development, standards, and technology discovery. In his role, he continues to collaborate globally to enable the manufacturing industry for the next generation. Tim has also recently concluded an ASME U.S. Congressional Fellowship for Advanced Manufacturing, serving in the office of Senator Marco Rubio from Florida, and he served on the Senate Committee on Small Business and Entrepreneurship. Tim, welcome to this podcast.
Thanks, Vincenzo. Great to be here. I appreciate it.
As a first question, I would like to ask you to give us an introduction to the AMT and mention some of the technical topics that you are currently following.
You got it. So AMT in the US, we are a typical trade association in the sense that our members are the companies who develop the technology itself, so the builders and also the distributors of such technology. We serve those members in a variety of manners, but really in two main ways. One is with market intelligence and also with market access. And the market access is a little bit different than a typical trade association in that we also own and manage four international tech centers. So we have Monterrey, Mexico, Sao Paulo, Brazil, Shanghai, China, Chennai, India, and then offices in Warsaw, Poland, and Beijing. And we use those as ways in which the US technology companies can better export or work in those emerging markets. So it's a little bit different than some of the things that a typical trade association would do. Most folks may know AMT better from our biggest show and product, which is the International Manufacturing Technology Show, IMTS, which is for us about 1 million square feet of exhibitor space and roughly 100,000-ish attendees when we hold that show. One of the purviews of AMT is to identify and track the trends in technology. And in each year, it's slightly different in priority, but generally there's about 10 to 15 technologies we're really interested in because they are improving either productivity directly or they are enabling to the other manufacturing technologies in our ecosystem. But this time, we're really keeping an eye, as the world is, on additive manufacturing, 3D printing, particularly in the metals processing, the hybrid processing, and lately a lot more large-scale machines have been brought to market. And the application runs from undersea to out in outer space. So it's been a really fun market to continue to watch. But we see that is still tracking ahead of most as far as investment dollars and as far as getting government support and seeing its technology be further developed. But second, and really, I think has a higher acceleration right now, is automation and robotics. In general, we see that kind of technology come to market quicker and be adopted and bought faster in general recessions. But the pandemic proved that it was not just in recessions, but in just tight market labor markets in general. And we have seen the robotics side of that really outpace a lot of the other discrete technologies. There's been advancements in safety and other things that make either a cobot work better or, in fact, a more energy efficient robotic usage going into the production facility. So a lot happening in the automation and robotics space. We are also following quality metrology, and not just from the inspection standpoint. What we see as a trend, many of those discrete technologies that were typically used for inspection or the end of the process are now being brought upstream into the manufacturing process to help drive better manufacturing processing. So that's an interesting trend. It's not novel. It's been happening for a few years, but now we're starting to see more of those kinds of technologies that are being brought upstream. And we're interested to see where that's going to go. We think it will help support getting, if you will, first part correct, meaning the first time you run your part, it's closer to acceptance instead of having to run out many different parts to tweak your process. And the last couple are a bit more on the enabling side. So we certainly are seeing more talk around cybersecurity, and we are seeing certainly the demand for cybersecurity enabled solutions. A lot of it has to deal with the talk of digital manufacturing, the digitization of data in general, but also the connectivity to cloud-based analysis and other means. So cybersecurity, while not a discrete technology to make a part, is certainly becoming something we're watching from AMT as far as an augmenting or an enabling technology. And part and parcel with cybersecurity is the digital manufacturing. And in fact, really, lately, it's been the model-based enterprise. So we are finding how designers have been using models and model-based enterprise tools to do CAD-CAM for quite a while. What we're seeing now is a lot of that extension of the digital nature being from not just the design, but into the process, and then collected, of course, at the end with inspection, and then hoping, we were hopeful that we see a lot more of that come closed loop back up to the front end of the manufacturing process. So for us, in this stage, we're seeing a lot of kind of two different things regarding what people think of when they think of digital manufacturing, or at least model-based enterprise. And that is simulation number one, visualization number two, but they are separate. And I think it's worthwhile in this podcast today to explain just in a moment that, you know, simulation is really a priori model, but it has no feedback. It's a guess. We have the pretty decent setup of the physical ecosystem on our floor, and we run with some assumptions that model, but there's no real feedback in a simulation generally. The visualization has all that real-time feedback, or at least real feedback, but there's not generally a model that is going to input the data into. And so therefore, we're left with this really nice tight process with simulation, but no actual understanding of the physical real-time impacts. Or we're left with a great rich data set stream of feedback from the real physical thing and visualization, but with no real model to go validate. We're starting to see those two worlds merge a bit. So from an AMT perspective, when you talk words like the Industrial Internet of Things or Industry 4.0, or if you talk about smart manufacturing, digital manufacturing, most don't know it. But it's those two worlds colliding is really what we see as a step function forward on trying to understand what it means to basically gain productivity inside my factory by leveraging on the digital nature of data these days. And you know, there is a point where all of these discrete technologies need a better foundational platform. And given the Trade and Technology Council, one of the things that the U.S. is certainly doing right now is wrestling with that in our national legislative branches. So you may know, and the audience may know about the House-approved Competes Act and the Senate-approved U.S. Innovation Competition Act, USICA. Those two bills are now sitting in conference waiting to be worked out between the two with some conferees from each of those chambers. This will be the largest innovation bill in our generation, at least, and by numbers and dollars, it might be of all time, but it's been a long time coming. And while we've had a tremendous bipartisan support for manufacturing in general in the U.S., we've had a hard time understanding the details of where those dollars and what kind of programming should be enabled and funded for us to meet those goals. So one thing we do like AMT is we watch over the technologies and the trends that we're following right now is this bill and the work going on in it. And it, there is some great commonality for the manufacturing industry that I think the audience should understand. There are 10 key common areas, discrete technologies that both versions of the bill have focused on. And that's things like artificial intelligence, it's semiconductors, it's quantum computing, robotics, natural disaster prevention, advanced communications technology, biotech, cybersecurity, batteries, and advanced material science. But then it diverts a little bit on each of the bills, where a lot of the House bills put a whole lot more funding into Department of Commerce, Department of Energy, and the Senate bill puts a lot more funding, not in those areas, but in DARPA and in NASA, just to give you a sense of where where some priorities are slightly different. But that's for now, Vincenzo. That's how we're seeing some of the technologies and how we're following them and what some of those areas are of most interest to us.
Thank you very much. My second question for you is actually a follow-up on what you were just mentioning, because in Europe, within both the Trade and Technology Council and also the Industry Forum, we're looking at different ways to promote innovation and different technologies. You mentioned additive manufacturing, robotics, of course, quality, and other enabling technologies. Is there any dedicated activities within AMT with which you promote innovation and emerging technologies? And besides the bills that you just mentioned, is there enough support from your point of view from the U.S. policymakers in terms of policy and funding?
And I appreciate the question. So two parts. The first part is AMT's participation in the promotion of innovation and emerging technologies. We actually do that almost not intentionally separately, but by the means that how we promote it, they're slightly different. So we have promoting innovation, which because of our main product, IMTS, we explicitly carve out time and space at IMTS every even year, at least, to do that. So we have our Emerging Technology Center, which really focuses a lot on what's the next best technology coming up, maybe not best, but the next advancement in technologies that are coming up. And then having live labs with groups like ASME, certainly highlighting the Manufacturing USA Institutes and SME's Technology Hub. So like major international trade shows, we take advantage of the time where people are walking through and they can see a little bit more tangibly what we mean by innovation. But also, separately to that, we have founded a tech lab out in San Francisco and are starting to create a partnership hub and spoke around the U.S. and in Mexico and Canada when we can, with the emerging ecosystems that are more local, if not regional. And so we've partnered now with the Silicon Valley Robotics group out of San Francisco area, AMT has directly. And we're looking at these other targeted affinity groups that are in the technology spaces that we are interested in to really help them understand how innovation becomes a business. And that's really the value add from an AMT and similar groups, by the way. And we also started looking at creating even a new membership category within AMT to promote innovation. So we have membership category for investors and brokers and bankers that are not just doing commercial loans. These are folks who are taking risk. It might be venture capital, it could be private equity, it could be many different things, investment banks. But we're trying to educate that community about the hardships and the challenges that are slightly different in hard tech, if you will, in manufacturing, and also let the manufacturing ecosystem grow more quickly by having the investment dollars brought to them sooner. So there's a little bit of that happening with the promoting of the innovation, but separately promoting emerging technologies. AMT has not pivoted, but extended and doubled down, if you will, on our brand called IMTS with IMTS Plus. So we're starting to bring more of the personal stories of technologies into a digital media streaming platform. And so we continue to do that. And we started to also follow more of the emerging technology markets explicitly with a data-centric dashboard, where additive is first, but we're going to start covering more of that to ensure that the ecosystem understands what is emerging technologies and how do they compare to the other technologies within the manufacturing ecosystem. And even to the explicit partnership that AMT is working through with the National Institute of Standards and Technology, NIST, NIST, where we're working through a contractual R&D agreement to help support things like the circular economy, digital thread, and standards harmonization, under the purview of AMT's mission of bringing emerging technologies to market, at least supporting those to go that way. So there's a couple things that we're doing, and we continue our relationships as members with some of the other Manufacturing USA institutes, like America Makes and MXD, SESME and SIMANI, and others that are following Army as far as the Robotics Institute. So there are many of those that are in our purview that we also are helping to either contribute more value add on the business to come to market, or to make sure people know other technologies that might be under rocks that they have not had a chance to turn over yet.
Thank you very much. My last question for you would be on the topic of additive manufacturing. We know that harmonization of standards in additive manufacturing was indicated by both US and EU as an interesting area of cooperation within the Trade and Technology Council. What areas AMT thinks that should be prioritized to speed up additive manufacturing adoption and market growth?
Yeah, this has been a tough hurdle for the additive manufacturing industry in general to overcome, particularly when you talk about the adoption of additive manufacturing. So two things we should probably talk about up front. One is we do have precedent, which is good. So the relationship and partnership and agreement between ASTM F42 and the ISO TC261 group certainly have set at least a venue where the nations and around the world can come together and help prioritize, if not contribute to those standards that by default become harmonized because you have, you know, a primary pipeline of the standard to be developed. Now, the issues, there is a good news story. So I'll get to the good news story about this, but the issues up front is generally, and it's by design, the ISO standard process is slightly slower than what the ASTM process is. And so in general, you'll get some of the ASTM standards through more quickly, and then they might sit at ISO for a little bit longer. And then the industry has a little bit of challenge in getting the standards they need to go work their commercial products. But that's okay, because what we are starting to see now, especially in the collaborative working groups, and again, this is just under the umbrella of the ASTM ISO agreement, these collaborative working groups, while slower, they're starting to get to the point where we get 80% of the critical portions of that particular standard complete and get it published, and then later come back and add the addendums or the next version releases that increase fidelity on the standard or improve the ability of one to adopt the standard for whatever means they need. So there is some precedent that we should not ignore when we look at how do the US and the EU collaborate, particularly on additive manufacturing standards. And I think that's the right one to focus on as far as a discrete technology, because it does have such a broad purview and application in all things manufacturing. And also because it has so many unique attributes to it when you look at it from a manufacturing process, how much the materials matter, the preparatory, then the processing, how many different ways we can introduce energy to that system. You know, so there's a lot of things that we should work through, and it has global applications. So that's one that I do like. And I think that when you break additive manufacturing down, we could probably call three major categories. Three major categories would cover it. If you talk about the standards that plan how you make a part, and in this category, I would consider things like design innovation, and it could be the CAD, it could be the processing files and some other things, but basically that really hot front-end design innovation. We're doing actually pretty well in that space. And then there's the very last one, the third one, which is really how do you assess that part after you have processed it with whatever additive technology. And, you know, we can call that inspection. We can call that many different things. And we're doing fairly well. Now, there's better fidelity always that would be better, but we're doing fairly well in the last part. It's the middle category where I think we, the EU and the US, have an opportunity to really make significant strides. And that's in the process control and the data collection side. Up to date, we generally had just the .stl file, which has done the yeoman's work for decades of capturing the CAD file and getting it ready to be processed on a particular control for a particular additive processing machine. But there's many things that are not captured in STL. We won't take this podcast to do that. But we do know that the 3MF file format has been going through its exercises of testing and standardization and all this, and it is starting to do a much better job. Now, the one question we should start asking between the two groups, the US and the EU, is, you know, can we get full volumetric data to be correlated back to all the things in our process? And it sounds a little in the weeds and detailed for this podcast, but that's really encompassing all that we still have left to go do. All the different things that happen in a 3D volumetric space in additive manufacturing, we lack the ability to identify those data points and then correlate them back to an input, whether it's the energy, the material, the other conditions within the machine, all these other things. We've not done that well, and we've not done that fully. And I think that would be one thing we could really do the additive manufacturing industry a world of favor by trying to understand what does that process control look like as far as standards that do exist and are complementary or at least an element of the total solution. But let's connect the dots that aren't connected, or let's fill in the gaps that are still evident in that world of process, file format, and other things to get that full volumetric data correlated back to the additive inputs. You know, and we at the U.S. would certainly be interested in that. We through whether it's ASTM, ASME, whether it's America Makes, our additive institute within the Manufacturing USA Institute world, and others. There's ways in which I think we could have a cohort from the U.S. work directly with the EU and still have a pipeline to make the standard a standard, whether it's by the ISO ASTM pipeline or an ASME or something else in the SESIMO umbrella of, you know, countries. We certainly don't want each country doing it all on their own. That would not be good for the industry. But coordination at that higher level between an AMT and a Manufacturing USA Institute and a SESIMO and the other associations in the SESIMO EU country world, I think would do a tremendous amount of good for the industry.
Thank you very much. And I think with this, I would like to thank you for all the interesting insights you shared with us today. I'm sure that some of the topics that you mentioned, we can definitely bring them forward together and enhance the cooperation between the US and the EU manufacturing sector. SESIMO will continue the discussion with the industry expert and policymakers and try to discover what are the areas in which stakeholders' input could help fostering this transatlantic partnership. With this, I would like to conclude our podcast for today and ask you to stay tuned on our channels. We will soon announce a new podcast, which will focus on standardization in advanced manufacturing, zooming in on topics that should be discussed in the Trade and Technology Council Working Group on Standardization. Thank you and stay tuned.